Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
No news on Tribune.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We thought this morning we'd be able to tell you who won the bidding war for the Tribune Company. You know, the Chicago paper, the LA Times, the Cubs, etc. Well, we still don't know. The deadline passed over the weekend, and there's still no decision from the Tribune board. We do know it's down to two contenders, California billionaires Burkle and Broad and Chicago billionaire Sam Zell. Tribune called Zell over the weekend and asked him to match the other guy's bid. So he did. We'll let you know when we finally get a decision on this. I bet a lot of immigration attorneys worked overtime this weekend. Today, the government starts accepting applications for H-1B visas. These are the documents for skilled workers who want jobs in this country. But there's so much demand, these H-1Bs might be gone by the end of the day. Lisa Roth explains.
The government will hand out 65,000 H-1B visas this year. The visas would start in October. During the dot-com boom, the government offered nearly three times that many visas for skilled workers. Muzaffar Chishti directs the think tank Migration Policy Institute's office at NYU. He says today's numbers make no sense.
These are unrealistic numbers for a 21st century global economy. These are highly strategic industry jobs. These are scientists, these are computer engineers, these are architects. So to say that the needs of the economy are going to be filled by 65,000 people is just not realistic.
He says the circus around the applications is evidence the immigration system needs revamping. Congress frequently talks about raising the H-1B quota, but lately it's gotten caught up in broader discussions about comprehensive immigration reform. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The stock market started the new quarter on a down note. Japan's Nikkei dropped 1.5% today, and shares are drifting lower in Europe. The Dow begins at 12,354 this Monday. All the major indexes lost about 1% last week. Oil's trading at a robust $66 a barrel this morning. The state of Ohio isn't waiting around for its people to lose their homes in foreclosure. Today, it launches a new program that'll give some homeowners with unaffordable mortgages a second chance. State-backed bonds will provide a pool of refinancing money. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli reports.
With the nation's highest rate of homes in foreclosure, the worry in Ohio goes beyond individual losses. Rita Paris of the Ohio Housing Finance Agency says communities across the state have high numbers of vacant homes already.
What's going to happen to those homes? What's going to become of those buildings? Are they just going to sit there, or are they going to become places that are magnets for crime?
A cycle of community unraveling is feared. Paris says Ohio's high number of risky subprime mortgages played a role.
There is no question, in addition to having a very challenged economy, when you overlay that with very risky lending practices, that you increase the opportunities for failure.
The agency has set aside $100 million for these refinancing bonds, but Paris says officials are open to going higher. Homeowners can apply starting today through the finance agency's statewide lending partners. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Google pulled its annual April Fool's prank yesterday. It offered people free high-speed internet through their home plumbing systems. Google said its toilet ISP worked with Microsoft's new Windows Vista operating system. But sorry, septic tanks would not work. The gag even included a step-by-step instruction manual online. The project was codenamed Dark Porcelain.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the important new book, Speaking of Faith, by public radio host Krista Tippett, in bookstores everywhere now. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
General Motors has problems aplenty. But one area where GM has succeeded lately is funding its worker pensions. Newsweek's Alan Sloan is here to explain what the automaker has done right.
Near the end of 2003, they borrowed what was, I think, the biggest corporate bond issue in history, something like $13.5 billion, put all that money into the pension funds. And then the past few years, pension returns have been great. You know, the stock markets have been strong all over the world. Bond markets have been good. Mm-hmm. And they made far more money on their investments than they projected making. So, you know, they shipped something like $19 billion out of stocks into bonds. And barring a complete meltdown somewhere, they won't have to put any money into the U.S. pension funds, at least as long as I'm still around.
Even though GM is cutting thousands of jobs, those people can be rest assured that their pensions are okay?
Sure. In fact, that was part of the deal. And the pension surplus that GM has would be even bigger if it had not been for those 34,000 people who took the buyout last year, because one of the provisions of the buyout was a slightly better pension deal and the pension fund was up to paying for it. You can argue that the pension fund subsidized the rest of the company. GM had stepped up, put money into the pension fund when they could borrow cheap, and then they earned very well on it.
So, Alan, what's the lesson here for other companies?
If you fund these things when you have access to money, which is what GM did in 2003, and you invest it well, you can get out from under the problem, especially if you do what GM is doing, which is instead of taking the risk for another year on the stock market, it's taking a lot of money off the table, which is probably the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do usually is to sell your winners. But they've managed to do that. It's a shame, you know, the car business isn't as profitable as their pension business.
Alan Sloan, the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.